Recording. Okay, we're on Daf Tet today. Nice fresh Daf with a new Mishnah. Okay, Tet Amud Aleph 9a on the top line. So Manitin in Choshishin Shemagira Chulda Mibayit Labayit. It means if a person did Bedika already, so I've inspected my house. I'm sure there's no chametz there, but I don't have to be worried that a Chulda that uses is a weasel took some chametz from a house that wasn't inspected and put it into my house. He says, umi ma kum, or even one place in my house. Like I inspected one room. I don't have to worry, like a weasel brought from one room to that it wasn't the uninspected room to the inspected room. He says, the im came because I'm worried about the weasels taking the chametz from place to place. Mechatzer lechatzer, umi yir le'ir, in ledavar sof. So I'd have to be choshesh that, let's say, you have, you know, one, the, it means the chatzer means the people in the chatzer. That let's say the batim in a certain chatzer, they all inspected their houses. Now this chatzer is like, you know, chametz rein. It's like free of any chametz. I don't have to worry, like, you know, from another chatzer they're bringing chametz. Or the whole city, and we inspected all our homes in this city. I have to worry people from another city. Ein ledavar sof is what the Mishnah says. All right. Any questions on the Mishnah? All right. I'm moving on then into the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Tamad lo chazina de shakal. So the implication of the Mishnah is, I don't have to worry about a chulda because I didn't see it taking anything. I didn't see a chulda with any chametz in his mouth or anything like that. But ha chazina de shakal chayshinan ubay bedika. But the implication is, if I would see a chulda with chametz in his mouth, then I have to do a new bedika. I got to check the whole place over again. Says Vamai Nema Achalte. So the question is, why would I have to do the whole inspection? Why can't I presume or assume that the chulda ate the chametz that it had? Why can't I assume the chulda ate the chametz that it had? So Milo Tanan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah? And this is on the sixth line on Ted Amud Aleph. Milo Tanan Medurot Ha'akum Temeim. Now Medurot Ha'akum means like the residences of non-Jews are presumably Temeim. He says, because this sounds kind of ghoulish, but we are afraid that they bury their stillborn children in the house. They still bury the stillborn children in the house. So Medurot Ha'akum Temeim. So the residences, so if I'm a Jew, if I'm a Kohen, I don't want to go into his house. But secondly, let's say I purchased a house or something like that. So I assume they're Temeim. B'kamishev Madur, V'hei Madur Tzirich B'dika. How long does a non-Jew have to live in that house, you know, until this presumption arises that he's got some stillborn child buried there, and I have to do bedikah, search around the whole place, make sure nothing like that is there? Arba imyom, 40 days, that's the amount of time for Yitzir Zavlad. It means we're afraid that, like, he impregnated a woman and that she miscarried and you have the dead fetus there or whatever. He says, va'afal pisha ain lo isha, even though he doesn't have a wife, but the Gemara takes the non-Jews or have, you know, the zanus and things like that. He says, v'chol makom shechulda v'chazir, yichol nahaloch, ain't tzirich bedika. But if it's a place where the chulda or the chazir could go there, doesn't need bedika, because the chulda or the chazir, it will eat it. Okay, let me say this here. Because the chulda or the chazir will eat it. So why is it? So again, so we said that if I have a chulda with chametz in its mouth, I have to do bedika. So why can't I assume it eats it? We see in this Mishnah that I do assume that a chulda and a chazir will, here they're going to eat the again, ghoulish, but they'll eat the stillborn child or the fetus or whatever like that. So Amar B'zeira lo kasher. B'zeira says there's no contradiction between our Mishnah. That Mishnah was the Mishnah Masechet Ohalot. So we don't do Ahalot with Dafyomi, but you get a little taste of everything with Dafyomi. So he says, Amar B'zeira lo kasher, Hababasar v'habalechem. In other words, it's like you're mixing kasher with mun, right? Right. In other words, we're talking about chametz in our Mishnah. They're talking about like flesh, like a piece of meat. You know, he says here, Babasar lo mishaira. With meat, they're not going to leave everything over. In other words, the chulda, they know, and Shia, I hope you're listening to this. I thought there's a lot of, you could have like veterinary sugyas throughout Shas. You collect them and you have your own annotation, like the veterinarian's commentary on Shas, like about what they eat and things like that. So the chulda, when it comes to the meat, the chulda is going to eat the meat up right away. And the chazer also, presumably. He says, bread, they'll leave over. They can nosh a little bit and leave some of it over. Okay, now, before I go on, let me just do a little Rashi on this. again, we said that with the non-Jewish, you know, the stillborn child in the non-Jewish home is going to give off tumah. Now, but do non-Jews give off tumah? No, tumah is ohel. So let's take a look at Rashi, around the eighth narrow line. Milo tanan b'masachet alod medura ovdei kochavim tameim ne shekovrim nefeleim b'bateim. They bury their, you know, stillborn children in their homes. Va'akum etam mitatan af ba'ohel l'rabanan. So Rashi says that there's a machloket about this. So according to the chachamim, they are metame ba'ohel. So a non-Jew is metame ba'ohel. Welcome me, Mayor. We're in on daf tenem and aleph in the Rashi around, you know, the eighth narrow line. Okay, so he says. And even according to Rav Shimon bar Yochai, who says that it doesn't have tumas ohel, that there is no tumas ohel for a non-Jew, but magav masa modahu delo yimaud ela mitumat ohel delo mikru adam. So even he agrees that by tumas magan tumas you would have. So the Jew who enters the non-Jewish home has to be concerned about this tumah. Let me just do a little Tosfos on this, and then I'll just summarize them. We'll come back, okay? So if you look at the second Tosfos, Kol Makom Shechulu Bardlos V'Chazir Mitzuyim Sham Ein Tzarich Badika. You see the second Tosfos? So Omer Ri Dekonim Utarim Likaneis Bavatei Obdei Kochavim. I feel like in Chazir Bechulu Mitzuyim Sham. Now, in other words, like the Re, he's living in France, right? In the Middle Ages. So are Kohanim allowed to go into non-Jewish homes? That's what he's really addressing. In other words, if you're telling me non-Jewish homes, they have to be concerned. They're burying their stillborn children in there. So how can any Kohen go into a non-Jewish home? He says, no problem. Mishum detanya betosefta de'ein medura ovdei kochavim mechutz la'aretz. There's no din of medura ovdei kochavim in mechutz la'aretz. Now, what I saw in the Masivta Gemara, they said that and they were quoting from the Marashah that there's a general gezeira about Tuma Seretz Ha'amim, that all land outside of Eretz Yisrael has a Tuma. So the Chamim didn't create another gezeira on top of that. So whatever gets you over that, you know, they talk about that today, you know, how Kohanim are allowed to live in Chutz La'aretz. Whatever gets you, once you're over that hump, then you don't have to worry about going to the non-Jewish home. But all right, let's just summarize again what we learned, and then we'll take some questions, and then we'll go on, okay? So the Mishnah said, I don't have to be worried. If I did bedika already, I searched my home or whatever, or I searched a corner of my home, I don't have to worry that a chulda came, a weasel came, and brought some chametz there. That's what the Mishnah says. Then the Gemara said that's only if I didn't actually see a chulda with chametz in its mouth. But if I see a chulda with chametz in its mouth, then I do have to be choshesh that he's got the chametz there and that I have to do another bedika. So the Gemara says, why do I have to worry about that? Why can't I say the chulda will eat it? He's got the chametz in his mouth. He'll do his own biur chametz, you know, so what do I have to worry about that? And we learned the Mishnah Masechet Alot says that the chulda will eat up like the, you know, the dead fetus or the dead cadaver of the child, and there's nothing to worry about then. So Reb Zera says the difference between meat, you know, in the case of the stillborn child, and chametz and leaven. In other words, with the meat that they're eager for, they want to eat it up, but the bread, you know, they might eat a little bit and leave the rest. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
I just have one question. So we're differentiating animals, correct? Because I think we said before that you don't have to check like in the chicken coop because the chickens eat up the crumbs, and we don't have to check in some of these other places with the animals. Didn't we learn that already with other animals that we don't have to check because...
It must have been a daf that I didn't do. Was it yesterday's daf? Because that's the only daf. Michael says it was in yesterday's daf. So is that what it said yesterday's daf, Michael? I can't hear you. You're muted.
Yeah, in the chutzner, you don't have to do bedika because the ravens were apparently prevalent then.
And I thought also the chicken coop. I think we had the chicken coop and we had something else also.
There was a whole list.
Right, there was a whole list. Maybe because that is chametz, but maybe because it's chickens and chuldas don't eat bread.
I don't know. That's where the veterinarian work comes in. And you want to weigh in on this, Shia, about weasels and bread and meat and anything like that?
How many weasels do you have in your practice, Shia?
All right. Now we're going to have expert testimony. You're muted. You're muted. We can't hear a word you're saying. You're still muted.
Yeah, I'm not sure if a weasel is a carnivore, an obligate carnivore, or not. I don't recall that.
You have your homework cut out for you.
Yeah,
we expect answers by tomorrow.
But I can tell you, if it's a rodent,
is a weasel a carnivore?
Yeah.
Let's see what Siri
if it's says. A rodent, they'll eat bread and they'll eat meat too. An obligate carnivore will only eat the meat and not much on the bread.
All right, you'll give us an answer by tomorrow, okay?
But he's a carnivore.
All right. But David, the bottom line is.
The weasel is a carnivore, and they'll go for the meat and clean up the meat, and not so much with the bread.
All right, so David, that's your answer. David, you have the answer, David.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Okay. All right. You see, there's the veterinarian's commentary on Shas waiting for you from Art Scroll, Shia. All right, let's take a look. Now, I'm going to go further in the Gemara. Now, even though Shia just said that the weasel is a carnivore and will eat the meat, Rava has a different shot. You see, Amar Rava, everybody down, we're around 10 lines down in the Gemara. So Amar Rava, hi, Moi, what type of kasha is this? Bishlema hatam. In other words, Rava wants to say that even, I could say maybe the weasel doesn't eat all the meat. But Amar Rava, hi, Moi, Bishlema hatam, Eimur hava, Eimur lo hava. With the non-Jew, with the stillborn child, maybe there was one there, maybe there wasn't one there. V'imtim salomar hava, emor achalte. And if there was one there, I could say it was eaten up. And it was like one safek and then another safek. I don't know if there was a child there. And even if there was a child there, maybe the chulda ate it up. Aval hacha, devada de chazina, de shakal. Here, in our case, with the case we're extrapolating from the Mishnah, I definitely saw a weasel with bread in his mouth. That I definitely saw. He says, "Mi yemar da achalte." The question is, did it eat it up? So have a safek uvadai. So then that's a safek with the vadai. In other words, the vadai is he had the chametz in his mouth. The safek is, did he eat up the chametz? So it's a safek versus a vadai. Vein safek motzi midi vadai. A safek can't push away something which is bavadaus. So Rava has a much more fundamental difference between our case in the Mishnah, or the case we're extrapolating from our Mishnah, and the case of Masechet Alot. And Alot, there's nothing definite there. I don't know if there was a stillborn child there or not, and even if there was one there, but it might have gotten eaten up. Here, the case we want to say is, I definitely see this weasel with the whole thing, and so now I have a safek. That's why this case is much worse. That's why I have to do it. Now, if you look at the Rashi, it's around 10 lines above where it gets wide. Hi, Mai. I want to go over this because this will be important for Ahmed Beis. Hi, Mai. Kolomar, Mai Kusha. What type of question do you have to begin with? Inami Orcha de Mishairi Bibistra. Even if I would assume arguendo that the weasel would leave over some meat. And even though Shia says he's a carnivore, there's nothing I assume to prevent him leaving over meat. Right, Shia? Shia? You're right. He can leave over some meat. He says, Lekalan Lamechash Hatamidi. There's nothing for us to worry about in the case with the stillborn child. The Hatam Chashasha Ba'almahu. It's just like a fear from the Veltarain. Emor Hava, Emor Lohava. Maybe it was there, maybe not. Maybe there was never a stillborn child. Hilkach Hecha de Shchicha Chulda Talina Lakula. So when the weasels are around, so I'll be told Lakula. Maybe there was, maybe there wasn't. And even there was, maybe the weasel ate it up. Vimrina Nim Tim Salomar. Hava emor achalte b'safek achila yecholo tianu mide safek hashlacha. So the safek of the eating can remove the safek of the having the stillborn child there. Aval hachagami chametz de kashalach heichet de chazinan de grara nami nema achalte vadai hava. But here with the chametz, here there's a vadai that the chametz was there, but a safek whether he ate it. Okay. So that's why this case with the chametz is worse. Now, the linchpin of Rava's Hesber, so again, we gave two answers in the Mishnah to distinguish between the chametz case and the stillborn child case. So one difference is meat versus bread, And that assumes that a chulda would not leave over any meat, but he would leave over bread. And then the bread case is worse. Or Rava's answer, he might leave over meat, he might leave over bread. In other words, he could do both. But the chametz case is worse, because the chametz case, we saw the weasel with the chametz. The stillborn child, we didn't see a stillborn child there. The question is, you know, what's the situation? Do I have to assume that I have tumor or not? All right. Now, the Gemara says, everybody good so far? Any questions? Okay, I'm going on. Now, the Gemara says, Vein safek motzi bidi vadai, mean a safek can't push away a vadai. Vadai is definite, safek is questionable. Safek can't push away something vadai. Vahatanya, we learn in the Braisa, chaver shemet. A chaver is like a tamid chacham, very from person. He dies. Biniach magura malaya peirot. And he left a storehouse filled with produce. Vafilu hein b'nei yoman. Even if they were that day, now this is going to be an issue of Tevel, you know, and Maaser. So the question is going to be, did he take the Maasrot from the pile, from the Tevel? In other words, is it Tevel or is it Chulin? Now, according to the way Rashi understands it, in order to be Chayev in Maasrot, it has to have Miruach, that the pile has to be smooth. And then it sees, then it means the processing is finished. And then the way Rashi understands, so not all Rishonim agree, then it's Roeh Pnei Abayit. And then it sees the front of the house and it comes in through the front door. That's the way that works. So let's say the Chaver died and he left a storehouse. It was Roeh Pnei Abayit, filled with produce. Vohim Bnei Yoman, even if it had just been smoothed out that day and then he died, Harein Becheskat Metukanim. The presumption is that he took out whatever needed, all trumas and masos were removed from it, and it's chulin. He says, "Bahacha divada tefili hani peire b'safik musarin." By the way, I should mention that with the ein safik motzi mi divadai, so Tosfos takes it that this safik, there's different types of sveikot. This safik is a likely safik that it occurred. And even with that, a safik is not motzi mi divadai. So not like an equal safik, but even though it's like probable took place, it doesn't push away the vadai. So he says here, v'hachar vadai tvi lehani peire. We know that it was definitely tevel at one point in time. It was tevel. There's no question about that. V'safik musarin, v'safik lo musarin. The question is, were the ties with the maestro removed from it? V'ka'ati safik u'motzi mi divadai. And so we think that we think. In other words, the Bryce is saying the Chaver dies, I assume that all the masters were taken. But I don't know that 100% true. That's what the Gemara takes it. It's likely he did it, but I don't know that to be 100% true. But I know that it was Tevel, and then I know it's highly likely they took all the Trumas and Masters from it. So that's so again, the linchpin of Rava's explanation is there's a difference in our Mishnah because we have a Safik and a Vadai, and a Safik Motzi Midi Vadai. But is that true? Here Safik is Motzi Midi Vadai, we think. So the Gemara says, Hatam Vadai Vadayu. The Gemara says, not a Safik and a Vadai. It's a Vadai and a Vadai, 100% and 100%. He says, the Vadai Ma'asre Kidrib Chanina, Choza. Like, a Chaver definitely will take the Trumas and Masas from it. The Amr Chanina Choza, Rukhid Choza says, Chazaka, Al chaver shein motzi mitachid yado davar sheinu mitukan. There's a presumption that a chaver won't let anything out of his control that hasn't been trumas and masos haven't been taken. The Gemara takes it when he dies; he's leaving it out of his control, but it means that he will definitely take the trumas and masos, you know, before anybody can get their hands on it. So, so we say that presumption's a vadai and a vadai. So it's not a safik and a vadai; it's a vadai and a vadai. Okay. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, I'm going to go on. All right. So the Gemara says, V'iboid ema, or else I could say, answer number two. Again, the question is, Rabba says, Ein safik motzi mi divadai. So we thought this was a case with the safik that was motzi mi divadai. So he said, no, it's a vadai and a vadai. V'iboid ema, safik v'safiku. Or else I could say, the both sveikot. He says here, Dilma me'ikara, Amor lo tvili kriboshia, because maybe it was never tevel like Reb Oshi explains. He says the Am Reb Oshia, marim adam al tvuato, a person can act like with subterfuge. he says, "Umachnisa b'mot shalo," and bring the tefua into the house with its chaff. He says, "Kadesh tei behemto ochel et p'tur min ha'maaser," so that his animal could eat it and it'll be p'tur min ha'maaser. It means if he hasn't finished the processing of the tefua, it was supposed to finishing the processing and it's roa p'nei abayit. Let's say he brings it in the house and it wasn't finishing the processing. So Raboshia says, I can sort of get in under the radar and in that fashion give it to my animal. Now, when I do it that way, I'm only allowed to have achilas arai from it. I could snack. A human can only snack from it. I can't have achilas keva, even though on a Torah level I could, but at the Rabbanan level, I'm not allowed to have achilas keva from it. So the Gemara wants to say that how do you know that this was even tevel? In other words, it's only tevel once the processing, in other words, once the chiyuvim click in. So then once I smooth out the piles. Maybe the piles were never smoothed out. He brings it in, and so it was never chayiv in it. So if that's the case, it's safek and safek. A, safek, it was whether it was tevel or not tevel. And then it could be, you know, safek whether he took the monstros from it. So it's not a case of, you know, safek and a vadai. We thought, in other words, the question was, here I'm going to have a vadai tevel and a safek whether he took it from it. So the Gemara's first answer was, no, it's vadai and vadai. Definitely it was tevel, and definitely he took the monstros from it. Second answer was, it's safek and safek. I don't know if it was really tevel. And if it was tevel, maybe he took the monstros from it. He says, so that's the way that Gemara resolves that. Now, even with this ukimta, let me just go over a point that Rashi makes. When I say that it's a safek, even under the best case scenario, we're talking about a yoresh, a person who inherits this tavua, he can. Why is he allowed to eat it? In other words, here the Brisa says that he can eat it, right? The Brisa says, what's the language? It says, So the Yoresh can eat the Tavua. But even assuming it was not Tevel, he couldn't eat it for a meal, right? In other words, Achilas Kev, we said, is not allowed, right? So again, we said maybe, in other words, we said, what in other words, what are the possibilities here? We said, maybe it was never Tevel. But it was never tevel. I couldn't have it for dinner. That would be achilas keva. Or maybe it was tevel, and then maybe the masas were taken. And yet here in the brisa, it's saying like you have a green light to do what you want with it. So let's see Rashi on this. Around 10 lines in the bottom of the Amud in the Rashi, it's like one blind the asterisk in the Rashi, okay? Maybe two lines below that. He said the last words on line Umutar Yoresh. Umutar Yoresh has la ochla achila keva. The Yoresh can eat this even achilas keva, means like a permanent meal. He says below tema nihid lo chayal layu tivlo la achilas aroi. Don't say like this. That you're right. It wasn't tevel for achilas aroi, but achila keva mie litzeru. But it should be. But achilas keva should be prohibited. How am I allowing the achilas keva to take place? He says the had demitzra chilat keva konuk piat goren ugemar malacha midrabanan hu. That isur is just an isur derabanan. In other words, the isur of eating achilas keva is rabbinic prohibition for this case. Begabi isur derabanan samchina cheskat chavish isran. For the isur derabanan, I can rely on the fact that the chaver most likely did it. Okay, so again, so the issue we're focusing in is the klal that ain't safik motzim idi vadai. We had this case with the chaver, with the payrod. So the payrod, you can eat the payrod after the chaver dies. So either it's a vadai and a vadai, vadai tevel, vadai is maaser, or it's a safik and a safik. It might not be tevel because he might have snuck it in like the way to get under the radar. And then a safek, maybe he took the Trumas Masas from it. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
Can you also say that he brought it in a different way, not through the door?
Not through the front door.
Yeah, okay, right.
That's what Rashi mentions that. He mentions the Gemara, but it's about like the Gemara says Chassidim Rishonim, Derek Tark Simone. I would think so. The only thing with that, we'll slow that down. The only thing is that this is a chaver. So I don't know if a chaver would do that. I don't know. You're right. What's the difference between that and being marim? But like the, I don't know if that conduct would be in the own conformity with the way the chaver would do it. But on the other hand, see this case, Rabbi Oshia says marim adam tuato. A person could do that. He's got a green light to do it. Halachically, it's the same result. I'm just wondering whether there's any reason why we wouldn't say that a chaver would do that.
Would he be able to have it as a full meal or only as a snack?
If he can only have it as a snack. If he does that, he can only eat it as a snack, only as a snack.
Even if he brings it through the roof?
Right, only as a snack, right. So, yeah. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right. I see a lot of blacked out faced names here. Aaron Gershon, Meir Abitan, Aaron Moshe. I'd love to see people. Okay, Malka, I see all your paintings there on your hand. Yosef, I see your ceiling too. All right, let's see further. Okay, on the hand. Okay, that's going to be the technique now. Everybody put their hand up. There we go, another hand. Okay, let's go further than the Gemara. All right, now we're three lines from the bottom on Ted Amid Aleph. The Ein Safik Motzi Mi Divadai. So again, we're asking on this klal, is it true that a Safik can't push away a Vadai? And that's what we said was working in our Mishnah, that if the Chula's got the Chametz in his mouth, so I have a problem with that. So the Gemara says, I can't say it's a Safik whether it ate it or not, so I still have to do Bedika. He says, the Ein Safik Motzi Mi Divadai Vahatanya, Amr Bihuda, there was an incident with the shifcha, like the maidservant of Meitzikachad, one oppressor. I don't know why he mentions an oppressor. He says, but Rimon is the name of the place. She tila nefil labor. She threw her stillborn child into the pit. Turn page. He says, Ubak Kohen ve tzitzbo. And Kohen came and looked into the pit. Leida im zacharhu im nekevahi. Is it male or female, miscarriage. In other words, for the tumah, in other words, the shifcha has to do the DNA tumah and tara. So it's important to know if she's made for 7 days or for 14 days, and then what's with her dam toar. Now, I don't know why they got a Kohen doing this. He seems like the worst person to pick, because he's being mahil on a dead body. Now, Rashi just says that the Kohen was a karov on B'nai Mishpacha, and he's doing this, but I don't know why a Kohen would undertake to do something like this, but he did that. He says, on the second line, Ubama Silfne Chachamim, and so the case came before the Chachamim as the status of this Kohen. Is the Kohen now Tame, Vitiya Ruhu? And they said the Kohen is Tahor. Because they have a Chulda there and a Bardless, they different Pshatim, but one Pshat is a polecat. And maybe we'll hear from Shia about polecats. Okay, Shia, we want to hear what a polecat is, but wait 2 minutes and you'll tell us. Okay, think about your thoughts. Okay, and we want to know whether he's a polecat is a carnivore or not. Okay, now he says Meishachudu Barlas Mitsuyim Sham. Now it means that he looked over, he didn't see anything. So he's looking to see whether it's a male or a female. He looks over, he doesn't see anything, but we don't know if he didn't see anything because there's nothing there or what was going on, or just it was dark. So the Chum said he's Tahor because the Chulda and a Bardlas are Mitsuyim there. In other words, he had a lot of Chuldas and Bardlasim there. He says, Vahacha Devada Hitila Vesafe Graruhu Vesafe Logaruhu. So over there, she certainly threw the stillborn child into the pit. And it's a Safek whether the Chulda or the Bardlas grabbed it and dragged it away or not. He says, Vesafe Logaruhu Hishata Vekati Safek Motsimi Divadai. And the Safek came and pushed away the Vadai. So Rava says Safik can't push away the Vadai. That's why I have to do the Bedikas Chametz. But here's a case. We see the Safik pushed away the Vadai. So the Gemara says, Lo Tema Shiti the Nefel Labor. Don't say the Pshat in the Braisa was that she cast a Nefel, a stillborn child, into the pit. Ela Ema Shepila Kimin Nefel Labor. Something that looked like a Nefel. In other words, we don't know, was it an embryo or a fetus there? Or was it just an empty amniotic sac? And we'll hear from Michael about empty amniotic sacs in a minute. So he says, Michael will fill us in. Now, he says, Bahavi Safik Vesafik. So it wasn't a Safik and a Vadai. It's a Safik and a Safik. In other words, I don't know if there's a stillborn child there from the get-go. And even assuming, arguendo, there was a stillborn child, maybe the Chulda or the Barless dragged it away. He says, Bahali Daim Zachar Huim Nekeva Hi Katani. But the Mishnah, the Brisa said he wanted to know whether it was male or female. That sounds like there was definitely something there. Haki kamor, this is what it means. Leida im ruachi pila im nefeli pila, that he wanted to know first, was there even, you know, a fetus in the amniotic sac or not, or was it just like wind or air? Vimtim slomar nefeli pila, and if you'll assume, for argument's sake, that there was a nefel there, he says, Leida im zachar huvim nekevahi. That's the first answer. So again, we said, is it true that a Safik can't push away from a Vadai? So there we said that Kohen was Tahor, and we had a Vadai Nefel in the pit, and then a Safik, whether the Chul of the Barless put it away, pulled it away. And then we said he's Tahor. Safik's putting away the Vadai. So the Gemara said, no, it's a Safik and a Safik. I don't know if there was a Nefel there to begin with. And even if there was a Nefel, maybe the Chul of the Barless put it away. Let me just do a few more lines, then I'll pause, then we'll hear from Shaya and from Michael. V'ibareima, or else I could say, Hatam vadayu vadayu. I could say, so it's really similar to what we had before. It's not a safik and a vadai. Either it's a vadai and a vadai, or a safik and a safik. It's just changing the scenario, just like we had before. So he says, or it's a vadai and a vadai, meaning, kevin de chulu barlas mitsuyim sham, vadai graruhu by hishaita. In other words, they definitely would have dragged it away. They may not have eaten the whole thing up, because Rava holds they don't necessarily eat everything up, but they're going to drag it away and bring it to their hole. So that's the case. So then it's a vadai and a vadai. Vadai, there was an eifa there, but if there's a chulam bardas, vadai is grabbing it and bringing it away. Now the Gemara says, nehidi shiuri mishaira, even though it definitely could leave some of the meat over, migrar miat, He says, so even though they might leave it over, but they definitely dragged it away. That's what he wants to say. Now, this is right. Then the Gemara says, Lishna Acharina, Nehi Devadai Achlum. This is really saying the same thing. Even though they definitely, Nehi Devadai Achlum Lo Amrina, I'm not going to say they definitely ate it up. Vadai Geruhu Lecharai Amrina. We'll definitely say that they took it to their pit. Okay, one second. Right. Okay, so again, he's saying, like, even if, you know, it was in Rava holds, they don't necessarily eat up all the meat. That's what we said before. So I will say maybe they didn't necessarily eat up all the meat, but they definitely would have pulled it away to their thing. Okay, let's just summarize again, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. So the issue was, is it true that a Safek can't push away a Vadai? So we had this case with Cohen looking over the pit with the Nafel in it, and the Chamu said he's Tahor. Cohen didn't see anything in the pit. And there was a chul and a bardless or chulas and bardless in the neighborhood. So Safek was pushing away the vada. The vada nefel there. And Safek with the chul bardless is going to take it away. So the Gemara says no. It's a Safek and a Safek. Not that she definitely had a nefel in there. Safek where there was a nefel and Safek with the chul bardless or vada and vada. There was a nefel there, but it's vada. It's not a Safek. Vada. That the chul of the barless will drag it away. Okay, who's got questions? Well, first, before the questions, let me hear from Shaya. Shaya, what do you have to say about a polecat? You got to mute yourself.
Yes, yeah. Okay. So it's not from a cat family. It's not the feline.
It's not.
So, but it's from the weasel. It's a carnivore.
Or it's a carnivore. Okay.
It is a carnivore.
Okay, now I'm going to hear from Michael. What do you have to say about an empty amniotic sac? Do you have anything to say about that, Michael?
Well, the blighted ovum, it's usually a chromosomal abnormality, but the embryo that was there gets resorbed into the sac itself.
Oh, all right. So that means...
And usually early in the pregnancy, 8 to 10 weeks.
All right. We're very fortunate to have such... expert people here. Thank you very much, Michael. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I did so far? Everybody's very quiet today. Yosef, everything okay? What's going on? Thumbs up. All right. It's just unnerving when people aren't asking all these questions. Okay, let's go further. Okay, so All right, so we got to mute. Everybody got to mute themselves again. Wait, too many unmuted. I'm going to mute everybody. Okay, I got everybody muted. When people don't mute themselves, noise comes in. Okay, so I'm right after the parentheses on Ted Amud Beis. Okay, now we're going back to our Mishnah. We said in the Mishnah that that I don't have to worry that a weasel is going to drag chametz after I search the whole place. I'm not worried about the weasel bringing the chametz. He says, "Umi aminan ein choshen shemagira chulda." Is it this on the Mishnah itself? Or is it true you're not choshesh that a chulda dragged in chametz after I spent the whole day cleaning the house? He says, "Bahaktani seifa," but I learn in the seifa, which is tomorrow's daf. There's a Mishnah on tomorrow's daf on Yudam Beis, and it's talking about the erev Pesach. It says, "Mash mishayer yani chena b'tzina." Like what a person leaves over, he wants to leave over chametz for breakfast to eat some chametz before Pesach begins, whatever he leaves over, he should put it in a secure spot. He says, "Shlo yehet sarach bedika achrab," so he doesn't have to do bedika afterwards, because if something happens with that, he's going to have to be bodek all over the place. So he says, so that sounds like I am choshesh. In other words, I'm choshesh that a chulda may have grabbed it and moved it away. So we just said we're not worried. In other words, in our Mishnah, we're saying not worried about the chulda bringing in chametz where I checked. So over there, I have to secure the chametz because otherwise I'm concerned that the chulda is grabbing the chametz and bringing it somewhere. So Amar Abaye, so am I worried about chulda doing that or not? So Amar Abaye lo kasha. There's no contradiction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in tomorrow's daf. Habi arba asar, habi shlosha asar. The Mishnah on tomorrow's daf is talking about the 14th of Nisan. Our Mishnah is talking about the 13th of Nisan. So in our Mishnah, either the pshat is that he did the bedikah on the 13th of Nisan, he did it a day ahead of time, that's what it's talking about, or according to the Chidushei Aran, the night of the 14th, which is when we do bedikah, he's also calling the 13th. But either way, our Mishnah is talking about the 13th. That Mishnah is talking about the morning of the 14th. So we'll see in a minute. B'shtosha asar, d'shchich rifta b'kulubate, on the 13th, there's lots of chametz, maybe even more chametz than usual in all the homes. In other words, from a chulda's perspective, he's like a millionaire because he's got all the bread all over the place. He says, lo matzna. So the chulda, he's not going to secret it someplace. He may eat it or not eat it, but he's not going to store it because he's got lots of chametz all over the place. He's like a wealthy, well-sated weasel. He says, b'ar ba'asar, but on the morning of the 14th, he says, "Lo shchicha rifta b'kulu bate." Now there's not so much chametz around anymore by the 14th of Nisan. He says, "Matzna." So if it finds some chametz, it's going to grab it and stash it away. But he's going to stash it away somewhere in my house. I still have a problem about yir b'yimatze. That's what we think the pshat is. So the Gemara says, "Ama Rava." So Rava says, "V'chichulda neviyahi," and this is like a play on words. Is the chulda a prophetess? If when we still used to use female words, like now we used to have millionaire, millionaires, actor, actress, you know, now it's everything is actor, millionaire, you know, like they don't do the female, you know, pronouns anymore. Anyway, so they have prophet and prophetess, but so the chulda neviyahi is the chulda a prophetess? The adam danina or besar velo afi ad laorta mishayru mitamra that the chulda knows that now it's the 14th is erev Pesach. Nobody's going to break any bread or matzah until the evening, and so she leaves some over and hides it away. Now there was a neviya chulda. That's why it's a play on words. There was chulda haneviya. So that's why it's saying.
Wasn't she just a couple of dapim ago? I don't
remember in any dafim that I did. Did Michael, did you have chulda neviyah on your daf? Yeah, I don't remember chulda being around, but
I remember saying, doesn't that mean weasel?
Oh, so I don't know what to say. I don't know. All right, now maybe there was that. Anyway, so let's go slowly with this. Now, by the way, I thought it was interesting. Remember, Michael, we spoke about baking matzah for Pesach. Remember, I think, who was it that was asking me, do you bake matzah? Was it Odate or somebody on Shabbat? When you asked
Rafi wanted to know.
Rafi, yeah.
Rafi was very concerned. Okay,
so here it's interesting. Listen, like the Gemara is like, you know, projecting what the chulda would be thinking. Does the chulda know that nobody's baking until that evening? So the implication being that people would bake their matzahs right before the Seder. That's the implication. In other words, that you bake your matzahs right before the Seder. That's what it sounds like from this Gemara. So I didn't see anything in the sheets about it, but let's see further. Now, so Rava rejects that Hesber. So again, we're back to square one. Why in the Mishnah on tomorrow's daf are we concerned about a chulda, and in our Mishnah we're not concerned about a chulda? Elam Rava, Masha Mishayer, Yanichenu Bitsina, Shema Titol Chulda Befanenu. In other words, he should secure his bread. And tomorrow's daf is telling, in other words, our daf is saying you searched, I don't have to worry about a chulda come bring in chametz. That daf is saying, I have chametz I'm leaving over to eat on Erev Pesach. I should put it in a secure place because Shemitil Chulda Befanena. Maybe the Chulda will take it and I'll see the Chulda with the chametz walking around with it. He says, we hate Sarach Bedika Akhra. Then I do have to Bedika. That we said. If I see Chulda, that we said on our Mishnah, if I see a Chulda with the chametz in his mouth, I have to worry that maybe it ate some of it and left some of it. He says, Tanya Kavate de Rava. We learn a brice that supports Rava's Hesber. If a person wants to eat chametz after he did the bedika, whatever he leaves over, he should put it in a secure spot. So the chulda doesn't take it in our presence. He says, then he does have to do another bedika. That's clear. We said, if I see a chulda with the chametz in his mouth, I have to do another bedika. That's answer number one. Answer number two. Rav Mari Amar, Gzeira, Shemianich Eser, Vim Satesha. Rav Mari is saying that in Hachinami, I don't have to worry about a chulda from the Beltaran coming in and bringing in chametz. I don't have to worry about that. But if I leave 10 pieces over and I find 9 pieces, then I do have to be concerned that a chulda took piece number 10 and stashed it away somewhere. And then I do have to know do another bdika. Now, I thought it's interesting. He says here, What did the Gemara say? He says, Shema Yaniach Eser Vim Satish Tesha. You know, the minag is, it's brought down, I think, in Shulchan Aruch, the minag is to leave 10 pieces of bread for the bedika. And here the Gemara says, maybe he'll leave 10 over pieces and find 9 of them. But it's interesting. See, like, you see these little things, like, you know, sort of like, not directly, but implied in the daf. All right.
We had a dog that followed us as we placed them down, and we were kids, and we go, but daddy, we put it right here.
So I don't know, we got a whole the dog problem here. Okay, now who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
How does the second answer the question?
In other words, we're saying it's two different cases. In our Mishnah, Yosef, if you're listening, in our Mishnah we're saying I searched the house, I don't have to worry that a chulda came in with chametz in the area that I searched already.
Okay.
In tomorrow's daf, we're saying, I have chametz, and I'm afraid, and I count up 10 pieces of chametz, and now there's only 9, then I have to be concerned that a chulda took number 10.
Because for sure it's missing.
Stashed it somewhere in the house, so then I do have to worry about it.
It's a vadai.
Well, right. In other words, I don't know if it's a vadai, but enough of a chashash that I have to do a bdika again. All right. So I'm going to move on unless there's any other questions, comments, or thoughts. Okay. All right. I got to mute everybody. Okay. All right. Let's go in for the kill. All right. So we're on Ted Amund Bays, and it's nice to have you with us, Mordechai. Welcome. So we're on Ted Amund Bays, around 10 lines from the bottom at the two dots, okay? Now, the Gemara just has disparate halachot. It's going disparate halachot related to Bedika. He says, Teshet Sibur in Shal Matzah, if I have 9 piles of matzah, Ba'chad Shal Chametz, and 1 pile of chametz. Ba'ata Achbar, now we're up to mouse. So we had Chulda, the weasel, and we had the Bardlus, which we thought was the polecat. Now we have the mouse. I think mouse is a little bit more, not that anybody wants mice in their homes, but it's something more, you know, that is shayach in, you know, certain places in New York. He says, Va'ata Achbar Vishakal, and a mouse comes and takes 1 piece of either chametz or matzah. We don't know what he took. He says, V'lo yadinan, I don't know if he took. In other words, let's say I cleaned up the whole house. I cleaned everything, and I made 9 piles of matzah and 1 pile of chametz, and everything. I'm ready to go. I'm just gonna get rid of the chametz, and then I'm good to go. Then a mouse runs in, grabs one something from one of the piles. I don't know if he took chametz or matzah. So what's the halach in that case? So the Gemara says, Hainu Tesha Chanuyot, that's the case of nine stores, which we're going to come up in a minute. He says, Peresh Va'ata Akbar V'Shakal, and let's say there was either a piece of matzo or chametz that had been separated from one of the piles, and then the Akbar came and took it, Hainu Seifa. So I'll explain shortly. The Tanya, and this is a case of Kavua. It's basically Kavua and Rove for people who've had Dafyomi and so forth. Okay, we'll see in a minute. The Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Teisha Chanuyot, if I have nine stores, Kulan Mokrin Basar Shkuta, they all sell kosher meat. Nine of the stores sell kosher meat. V'achat Mokherit Basar Nevel, one sells treif. V'lakach me'achat mihen, he knows he purchased meat from one of the stores. I don't know what he'd be doing in the trade store, but he knows he purchased meat from one of the stores. He doesn't know what store he purchased it from. Sveiko Asur. That's kol kavua kemech sal mechzadami. Kavua means I find the isur, you know, in its location. You know, with the safik rose in its location. So the source of the kosher meat or the treif meat is the store, and the safik rose, you know, retrospectively in the store, that we treat as mechsa mechsa. So this is a Gemara Masechet Ksubos. I think it comes up in Sanhedrin as well. If you have nine Jews and one non-Jew are standing together in a square, and a Jew takes a rock and he throws it into the group and he kills a Jew. So is he chayev misa or not? So the Gemara learns he's not chayev because it's not kol kavu kemechsal mechsadami. It's like we view it as like 50-50. So the Gemara takes it there. Rabbi Sobolovsky there that says kavu means like stationary. Everybody's standing still. So that's viewed as mechsal mechsa. So here with our nine piles of matzah and one of chametz. So if the Akbar comes and takes from one of the piles, so then I'm in Gahak Tetzuris. Then now I'm going to have to do Undum Bedika because it's Kemechsa Mechsa. It's Safe Kasur. Uvenimsa Halecha Karo. But if I found a piece of meat on the street, I could follow the majority. So here too, that's the second case. If there was like a piece that had been taken from one of the piles, I don't know which pile, I could be told that that's from the majority pile, which was matzah in this case. So we had two cases in the Gemara. Nine piles of matzah, one of chametz, and then a mouse comes and takes from one of the piles. I don't know which pile he took from. So in that case, we're going to say that's kavua. And we view it kemechsa mechsa as 50-50. So I don't know if he took chametz, I don't know if he matzah. I have to do new bedika again. But if there was one piece of matzah or chametz separated from it, you know, from all the piles, and he took that piece, and I don't know what that piece was, then I can go after the rov and say it was most likely matzah. Who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we just did? Okay, let's do the last case. This will be it. Now, we're around 10 lines from the bottom near the small, is that a hay? Near the small hay. Shnei tziburin, if there are two piles, achat shel matzah v'achat shel chametz. I have one pile of matzah and one pile of chametz. Lefneim shnei batim, echad baduk v'achat sheino baduk. And in front of them, there's two houses, one that's been inspected already, one that hasn't been inspected. Va'atu shnei achbarim, and then two mice come along. Achad shakal matzah v'achad shakal chametz. One grabs a piece of chametz, one grabs a piece of matzah. V'lo yadin hei l'hai ayil v'hei l'hai ayil. I don't know who went into which house. So in other words, the two mice come, they grab, each one grabs chametz, one grabs matzah. I don't know if the chametz mouse went into the chametz house and the matzah mouse went into the house that had been inspected already, or the chametz mouse went into the inspected house and the matzah went into the chametz house. That's the question. So the Gemara says, Hainu shtei kupot. So that seems pretty similar to the case of two kupot, which we're going to learn right now. Should be Tanya. Tanya, we learn in the Braisa. Shtei kupot means I have two boxes. Could be wicker back baskets. That's the way Art School had it. Shtei kupot, achat shel chulin v'achat shel truma. One is with chulin and one's truma. So truma is only can eaten by kohanim. Lefnehem shnei se'in, achat shel chulin v'achat shel truma. In front of the kupot is like a larger, you know, container. One with a saw of chulin, one with a saw of truma. Saw is a tremendous large sum, right? V'naflu elu l'toch elu. So the two boxes fall into the two sa'ah bins. One box falls into one bin, one to the other bin. Elu mutarin. So elu toke elu mutarin. So they fell into it. They're mutarin. Shani omer chulin to chulin naflu truma l'tok truma naflo. He says I'm entitled to say that the chulin went into the chulin, you know, basket, and the truma went into the truma basket, the truma where the truma saw. He says. So the Gemara says, one minute. Okay. So now the Gemara thinks the cases are not analogous. Amor demrinan. Shani Omer, Betruma Drabanan. So I understand by the Truma case, I'm going to be told that way. There was a Safek, but I'm entitled to be told that way. Now it means even though the amount of Truma, I don't have like 100 times the Truma for Betol, but I'll still be told that the Truma fell into the Truma, and I won't, and I'll eat the Chulin even by non Kohenim. So the Gemara says, Amar Demrinan Shani Omer, Betruma Drabanan. Now Truma Bismana says Drabanan. So, according to the Rambam, Truma is only deraisa when most of the Jews are in Eretz Yisrael, and the Beis Hamikdash is in business, then Truma is deraisa. So during the time of Bayit Sheni, according to the Rambam, it's all drabanan. But even according to other Rishonim, that when as long as the Beis Hamikdash is standing, it's deraisa. But once the korban buy it, so it's derabanan. So it means, so we're talking about, so by truma derabanan. So in other words, you're right, it's a safek, but that kula, in other words, by truma derabanan, they're willing to be tola that the truma fell onto the truma. In other words, because it's only, at worst case scenario, it's rabbinic violation. And I have a safek involved with it. And I'm going to be tola that the truma fell into the truma. His bechamitz deraita, Miyam Rinan, but by Chametz, which is an Eastern Torah, so in other words, I'm not allowed in a Torah to possess any Chametz, so will I be Tola? So here I have the two mice with one pile, another pile. Would I be necessarily, is that necessarily analogous and say that the mouse with the Chametz went to the Chametz house and the mouse with the matzah went to the matzah house? So the Gemara says, Atu B'dikas Chametz Doraita, is the requirement for B'dikas Chametz, is that a Torah requirement? He says, the Rabbanan, who is really rabbinic. So on a Teraisa level, we said with Bita alone, you're Yotzei. So in Achinami, they're going to be total the Kula in this case as well. They're told in this case as well. Okay. So this was like a leniency they had, you know, even though it's just as likely that the Saw of Truma fell into the one with Chulin, but they were total the Kula because it's a Drabanan, but Batikas Chametz is also Dinta Rabbanan. That would be total Lakula. Okay, who's the questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did tonight? Everybody good? All right, so nice seeing everybody. Let me end the recording, and then we'll say goodbye. Let me end the recording.